The problem with the sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church is such that I've been thinking for several years about this, but over the last couple of weeks since the release of the Pennsylvania grand jury report is, you know, what's the impact of this on those of us trying to run Catholic institutions, a place like Canisius College? How can I talk to our faculty and our students about this? What are our alumni thinking? And then we have a lot of faithful Catholics who I'm interacting with all the time who are just very, very, very concerned and disillusioned, I would say, disillusioned with what's happened.
Your comments about the thought of bringing women into the church and that this probably, perhaps under their leadership, may have been a different way of being handled.
To be honest, Eileen, I was thinking about my own dearly departed mother, who was sometimes overwhelmed with raising 9 children, but had a really good sixth sense about things like that and kept us safe. And then I started to think, if women had been in charge, as you read the account in Pennsylvania about the way that this thing was just kind of passed around, if you think about your mother and you think about the way women approach things, I'd say, if women had been involved, could this have ever happened? And I don't think it could. I said the motherly instinct would have been, we need to protect the children.
When you say you would see women in the role, do you see that as the sisters, the nuns, the orders that are out there first, or women laity in general?
Well, I think I'm talking about women laity in general, but I think, I think the sisters have been marginalized in the church. I mean, remember, this is the church that a few years back commenced an investigation of all the women religious in the United States with no provocation. They were concerned that they were too involved in social justice. And frankly, the Gospels that I read compel us to be involved in social justice. So I think that's unfair. But generally speaking, I think it's women's role in the church. And it doesn't mean putting them on a commission or a task force and then ignoring them. That's all window dressing. They have to be involved in making the decisions at the church. And whatever way gets us there is the way to go.
There is so much going on with the abuse scandal. The Pope is under fire. There's been calls for his resignation. How do we in the United States take that to the Vatican level where we have these ancient laws?
Well, I think the Pope understands that there is a great problem in the United States, but he also understands that there's a great problem in Chile, and there's a great problem in Ireland. There's now a growing problem in Asia. So, I mean, he's got to look at this on a global basis. That was the point. One point I made in my statement is he formed a pontifical commission in 2014, shortly after he was elected as Pope. And now remember, this is 12 years after Boston spotlight. It's almost 16 years after we had the first inkling that there was something amiss with the clergy. But we thought, well, we were going to have this pontifical commission. And then 3 years later, the one abuse survivor he puts on the commission, Marie Collins of Ireland, resigns because she says she's running into a stone wall. They won't implement the recommendations of the commission, and there are people in the Vatican working to subvert the work of the commission. So there are, by my understanding, very, very powerful forces of resistance within the Vatican that I don't hold the Pope responsible for. He is doing his best to counteract that, but it's a difficult situation.
You haven't come out and said that Bishop Malone should resign, but what is your stance on these church leaders and their power?
I think it starts with an understanding that they all bear some responsibility. They are part of a hierarchical structure that has allowed this to occur, and they need to be committed to reforming the structure and to get at the truth. But I think some of these calls for Bishop Malone's resignation come from a political point of view, as though he were an elected official. He's not. That's not the way this works. So I don't think it's the place of people to call for his resignation. If anything, we should be working right now with Bishop Malone to get to a point where I think he wants to get, We've had some stumbles here. There's no question about it. But we've got to get to a point where the truth is there and the confidence of the laity is restored.
He wants to stay and continue to lead his flock, as he told us last week, but it still feels like there's this shroud of secrecy, and they're not coming forward enough in the community to make that flock feel better.
Well, we're talking about a very new development here, and I think it's got to be allowed to play out a bit. I mean, I think, for example, I speculate in my statement to the community that we're likely to see grand jury proceedings in maybe all 49 other states other than Pennsylvania. And if that's going to occur, Bishop Malone has already said that he will cooperate with that, which I think is, that's right. And I mean, he's not going to have any choice. He's going to have to cooperate, but he's going to cooperate. That probably is a better way of getting at the truth than having these things play out day by day in the media. I would feel better with a grand jury investigation of it than that way.
What has the response been so far to your letter?
Unanimously positive. And I've had hundreds of text messages and emails here in 24 hours since I released this. It's clear to me I have touched a nerve among a number of women who were grateful for my calling attention to the issue, but also faithful Catholics who, you know, I saw this in church last Saturday afternoon. People are shell-shocked, and they're not sure where to go with this. And the great thing, the pastor at the church I attended came out and said, first of all, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for not leaving. And I think that's the approach we have to take. But people want to know that these concerns are being voiced, and I think they're very grateful to me for giving voice to them.
What can you do with that information to perhaps elevate it beyond Buffalo, Western New York, into the nation, into the Vatican? The priesthood is under fire, but yet, you know, the Jesuits are an order that stand on their own, too.
Yeah, so I spoke with the rector of the Jesuit community here at Canisius prior to releasing the statement. I gave him a draft of it. I didn't ask for his permission, and he didn't think that he had to give it to me, but I said I wanted the community to be aware. I sent the statement yesterday to Father Jim Martin at America Media, who is, I think, the leading spokesperson for the Catholic Church in the media in the United States. And Father Martin and I are friendly from a couple of different connections. And then it's out among the Jesuit network. We have 28 schools across the United States. So, and I'm hearing from across the country that people have already seen it, have said, you have said things in a way that we haven't seen said other places, and they're grateful for that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Colleges and universities the last several years have been under attack for campus sexual abuse. There's been a lot of changes statewide in the law on that. Is it almost lessons learned that you can help the Catholic Church in this from what has been experienced on some of the campuses because of sexual abuse issues?
Maybe not. I think the issues that we face here of sexual abuse wouldn't really fall into the pedophilia category. They tend to be students who are over the age of 18, and it's usually a student on student thing. And there are some evidences in the Catholic investigation of a violent sexual assault, but we're dealing mostly with sexual assault issues on college campuses.
What would be the next steps for you now that you hope to hear from the Catholic community, from those leadership?
But I would hope that in the days and weeks ahead, that we find maybe some approach to get the laity involved in how we might best address this. And that's where, you know, I've always got to stress to people, we're a Catholic college, but we're not the Catholic Church. We don't have to operate like the church. So we have a certain amount of independence. I had it suggested to me by some faculty members yesterday that maybe we should be sponsoring some symposia at the college on the topic and give people a chance maybe to approach this from a couple of different dimensions. And I think maybe people want to share their feelings. In the emails I've gotten, there's a lot of pain out there over this.
Has it affected the way people come into the campus and they want to be here for perhaps those that do want to be here for that religious part of it, that they're gaining that Jesuit education?
Yeah, I've heard from some members of our staff who said that they thanked me so much because they said, we've been grappling with this. How do we remain faithful in the church, and how do we work for this Catholic college that we're working for? So, I mean, we're caught up in this. And I told this to Bishop Malone a couple of weeks ago. This whole thing, it doesn't make marketing Catholic education any easier. And, I mean, he readily agreed with that. He knows.
Is this the final tipping point for the Catholic Church?
I certainly hope not. You know, for a long time, over 20 years, people have been talking about different developments within the church, the growing secularization, people drifting away from the church, people having disagreements with the church, this sex abuse scandal, to be sure. But my predecessor, Father Cook, used to say, when people would say, what's going to happen with the church, Father? He'd say, remember, this is God's church, and what happens with God's church is up to God. Our job as humans is to discern the will of God, and sometimes we do that well, and sometimes we seem to have your plugs in. So I'm hoping in the weeks ahead that we can maybe double our efforts to discern the will of God and see what is to become.
President Hurley, thank you.
Thank you, Eileen.